I've been waiting for more than a year to look into your faces and see the faces of the people that God is using in such an incredible way here in Houston. I don't know if you realized how specially blessed you are to be a part of an exciting new work of God like Christ Community Church in Houston. I don't know. How many of you had ever been involved in a new church, the development of a new church before? A few of you. And you get to do it twice. You're really blessed, you know. I have a greeting this morning. Thank you, Michael, for saying all those things that weren't true. Missionary statesman, by the way, means old missionary. Michael has been two times to St. Petersburg, Russia, since he has been your pastor, and eight times before that, and then a time or two with us to other parts of the former Soviet Union. And there is a Russian pastor named Viktor Sipko, and he leads the Russian churches in a large state called the Leningradskaya Oblast, which is where St. Petersburg is located. Yesterday, I asked Victor to send me a greeting that I could read to you today. So this is a greeting fresh yesterday from St. Petersburg, Russia. Greetings to you, dear Michael and Christy Boys, brothers and sisters in Christ Community Church. I'm glad to send you greetings through Brother Robert Provost. I want to express my sincere gratitude for the ministry of your church in Russia and St. Petersburg. We receive special blessings and love from all of you through Pastor Michael and his team when they come to us for training. Certainly this love comes from our Savior. We warmly thank you for financial support for education of our ministers. We are glad for the opportunity that Pastor Michael Boys may come to us and personally train our students. This is a special time for us when we study together the scriptures. This year, the Antioch Initiative Program will come to an end, but in our hearts, a special love for you and your ministers will live forever. We would like to continue our cooperation, our joint services for the glory of Jesus Christ in St. Petersburg. We wish you God's blessings in your personal life and your ministry to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let his name be glorified through you in a special way around the world. With love and thanks, students, ministers, and Pastor Viktor Sipko. I hope, Pastor Michael, that Viktor Sipko gets to come here someday. I want you to meet him. A more godly pastor I have never met. Just a wonderful, wonderful man of God. What the Lord has put on my heart to share with you today is a subject that I share every place that I can. It's, you could call it God's global initiative. And what is commonly called missions, I call the mission. The mission. God's global initiative trumps every other kind of global initiative. Every major corporation has a global initiative. Every major university has a global initiative. Governments worldwide have what they call global initiatives. But God's global initiative was designed by the one who designed the globe and the one who built the globe. And God's global initiative is so global that it doesn't just include all the 200 countries that exist today, but it has included all the countries that have existed and no longer exist. And it includes not only all the countries and all the people in all the countries that exist today, but all the countries that will exist in the future before Christ returns. And it includes not only all the countries, but all the ethnic groups in every country. Think about this. I mean, it's just pervasive. All the languages that have ever been spoken, ever will be spoken, are included in God's global initiative. Every tribe that ever existed are included in God's global. Does that sound important to you? Does it sound important to you? What could be more important, right? And God's design for advancing his global initiative includes every one of you. Every one of you. I want to remind you that God chose you according to his word. Everyone, this is how personal it is. God chose every one of you. If you have repented of your sin and trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, God chose you before the beginning of time. Before the beginning of time. Before the Bible was written, before Adam and Eve were created, God chose you personally. That should send chills up your spine. And before the beginning of time, therefore, I believe God had a plan for Christ Community Church to be born a year ago. And he has a plan for you, not only individually, but he has a plan for you collectively as a church. I think you're going to turn Houston upside down. I think it's just begun. But you'll be turning Houston upside down, and the ripple effect is going to go all over the planet. You've already begun that. Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Genesis in chapter 12? I apologize for my voice. Josh is a great sound man, and he's doing all he can to help me. I injured my voice in November. I finally had it diagnosed last week. And the solution, they tell me that they'll be able to get my voice back for me. But it's going to take 2 months of voice therapy. But I'm committed preaching until the near middle of March. I had overseas trips planned in March and April. And so I have to postpone those trips in March and April and have the voice therapy twice a week. So I apologize. I wasn't going to tell you about it, but I realized how bad I sound, and so I thought I should. Maybe you'll pray for my voice. Genesis in chapter 12. Now in chapter 10, God has already begun to form the first nations. First Nations, chapter 10. By the way, the nations appear in the new heaven and the new earth. After this earth is destroyed, the nations there are there. Do you think God likes nations? Nations are his tool. Not as important as the church, but nations are his tool. Now the Lord said to Abram, go. Now this is how God sends a missionary, okay? I love this. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. He didn't say, I'd like you to go for 3 months and see how it goes. He didn't say, why don't you take a 1 year, you know, and if it works out okay, maybe we'll talk about a longer term thing. He said, go, and he didn't even tell him where he was going to go. But he said, leave everything and everybody. Be free to serve me fully. Leave everything and everybody. And basically says, when you get there, I'll tell you where you are. And then with this kind of loyalty to God, then God says what he's going to do, okay? Your part is to go. Leave everybody, be focused on what I have for you to do. You go. But my part, God says, I will make of you a great nation. Think Israel. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Are you part of all the families of the earth? You're right there, chapter 12, right there, okay? There you are. Now, turn over to Ephesians in chapter 1, please. I'm not going to go to every scripture verse that I talk about, but there are a few here that are just so important. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's as if you're already in heaven. You can count it. You can count on it. Even as he chose us in him, think of yourself, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. See yourself there? He chose you before the foundation of the world. Now, how's he going to do this? I mean, how is he going to bless? How is God going to bless all the people on the planet? Clues start to develop in Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Turn there, please, with me. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. This is an amazing passage to study in your own time. It's amazing because in this passage, God gives the prophet Isaiah an opportunity to look in on the throne room of God and observe a conversation going on in heaven between God the Father and God the Son. And in verse 6, God the Father says, "It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel." Israel was in trouble. They'd been disobedient. And so they'd been talking, God the Father and God the Son, about God the Son coming to earth and rescuing Israel. That was the first reason for his coming. But God the Father says, that's not enough. And think about that. To give up the riches of heaven, to give up the exercise of all his divine qualities. God the Father wanted to make it really count more than the Jews. Remember, because it wasn't only the Jews that he wanted to bless, he wanted to bless everybody. So he goes on to say, "I will make you as a light for all the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." That's Jesus he's talking about. Now turn just one page probably in your Bible over to chapter 52. Beginning in verse 13. "Behold, my servant," God the Father, referring to God the Son, "shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted." Time-wise, this hasn't happened yet. This is when Christ is here and every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We look forward to that day. The next verse. Go back to the Babylonian captivity of the people of Judah. And he compares the suffering of the people of Judah in the Babylonian captivity, and then he compares it to the future suffering of Christ on the way to the cross and on the cross. "As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance." You remember what they did, beating the Lord Jesus in the face, spitting in his face, shoving the throne, crown of thrones down into his head. You ever had a nick in your head and saw how much it bled, how much just a little something in your head bleeds? Think of all those, of all those thorns that were jammed into the head of Christ, and then the blood coming down over the mud and the spittle, and they'd beat his face so badly that it was puffed out, and you couldn't tell he was human. That's what he endured in place of your face, in place of mine. And then he goes on to say, "in his form beyond that of the children of mankind," what they did to his body. Crucifixion is the worst possible way that a human being can die. And he endured it in your place, in mine. Then verse 15, the purpose, "so shall he sprinkle many nations." He did it for the nations. And then he goes on and talks about the future when he's going to be reigning from Jerusalem. "Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand." It's also the description of a great spiritual harvest. By the way, in the Jewish synagogues, every Shabbat, every Saturday, in every synagogue worldwide, they study the same passage. You can Google it and find out what they were teaching in every synagogue yesterday. But when they're going through Isaiah and they come to chapter 52, when they finish verse 12, they skip these three verses that I just read. And then they skip chapter 53 and they go to chapter 54. Because it's just too troublesome for a rabbi to be explaining these verses and denying that Christ is the Messiah. It's just too hard to do, so they skip it. And they say, well, that doesn't really apply to one person. It applies to all of Israel, so how they do that. And so now we see how God is going to bless all the nations. He's going to send his son. And he's going to send his son to die for the sins of all the nations, including Israel, of course. But the practical aspect of how he's going to do that begins in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Gates of hell. Or I think it means death. It means Christ will build his church, and even death will not stop it. We learned it in Albania. In Albania, terrible Enver Hoxha, the ruthless dictator, killed all the believers. But the church is back. So we've learned you can even kill all the believers in a country and the church will be back. It's back more powerful than ever. In Mark 16:15, where is God's global initiative going to happen? It's right there, Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. Jesus said, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And that's been happening ever since. That's why we're here today. Okay, we're here today because every generation has been faithful to this command. And then just turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke and 24. God's global initiative. That was the risen Christ speaking in Mark 16:15. Here it's the risen Christ again speaking. Beginning in verse 44. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me and in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. Great Commission passage emphasizing reaching the Jews first. And then Matthew 28. Matthew 28. The most familiar Great Commission passage. Matthew 28 is the job description for the church. The church that Christ is building for the purpose of blessing all the people in all the nations. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Talk about it. That's more than global, isn't it? Way more than global. That is global plus heaven. Christ has authority over it all. And He gives a command, though he gives it in a participial phrase, but it has the weight of a command. So when Christ says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, there is no command in the history of the universe that carries with it more authority. Does Christ have the authority to say to you, members of Christ's community church, go? It's not only collective, it's personal. The life of a believer should be characterized, every believer, by motion towards the lost, wherever you are. Whatever your career field is, from God's word, I'm 100% convinced that the primary reason for every occupation isn't to earn a living for your family. It's to penetrate a sphere of influence that uniquely matches your gifts and abilities. God puts you there. He puts you in the midst of people that will be attracted to you and pay attention to you so that you can be the living word of God in their midst. Think about that. In God's global initiative, it's way more important that you're impacting people day in and day out than how much money you make. When you grasp this, it changes going to work every day, changes everything about it. And you go to work in the morning praying for opportunities and asking the Lord to help you with the opportunities. And if you both work, husband and wife, praying for each other. If your kids are in school, have a prayer meeting in the morning and have your children praying for the other kids that they're going to relate to every day. And then when you all gather home at night, everybody reports back what happened at work, what happened at school. We did that when we were raising our kids. It was so exciting. One of our kids had come running up the walk to the house, coming home from school, so excited about something that happened. And I said, well, why are you so excited? I remember my daughter one day said, she said, oh, Dad, sorry, can't tell you. I'll tell you at supper. You have to wait till supper to give the report to everybody. Now, as we can, so the job description of the church is going, making disciples of all nations. All nations. Well, how do you make disciples of all nations? One person at a time, every person you know. And I love how it continues, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's not enough to lead somebody to Christ. You just gave birth to a baby. Can't leave the baby on the doorstep. And if you've led somebody to Christ and it's somebody that you see day in and day out, it's your job. Your job to disciple them, to teach them God's truth and help them grow as a believer. That's pretty heavy duty. I mean, I'm supposed to be talking about mission. So far, I'm only talking about you. But when you are living the way I'm saying, God will keep increasing your sphere of influence. And in due time, some of you are going to be all over this planet. All over this planet. And my greatest excitement is about the most unreached countries. The most unreached countries. When you hear about something great happening in a country and there's a great popularity and everybody wants to go there as a missionary, everybody wants to go there short term, let that up to the crowds that are going there. They don't need you. Now you can Google and find, you can just Google this afternoon and find all the most unreached places on the planet. And most exciting to me are the places on the planet where the government say you can't come here. Because you've been commanded by Christ to go there. And his command trumps every government on the planet. Okay? So if it's a country where missionaries can't go, there's a way to go there. Start praying about how to go there. How can you go there? Albania was the most unreached country. All the believers had been killed. There had been no diplomatic relations with Albania for 40 years. There was no way an American could go to Albania. and I couldn't forget Albania. And through a series of things, I wound up going as a guest of the Albanian government, as an educational consultant. And that's how the church began to develop in Albania. Incredible. But that can happen all over the world. Can happen. All governments in the world need certain specialists to come from America. Maybe you're one of those. In about half the countries that we work in, the number of believers isn't measured by how many, by what percent, or how many in 1,000, or even how many in 10,000. But about half the countries that we work in, the number of believers today is measured by 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 100,000. Wouldn't you like to go to a country like that and make a difference? Can you imagine? What are 5 or 6 out of 100,000? What can they do? They need help. They desperately need help. Even in what we call the lands of Russia, the most reached area of the former Soviet Union is Ukraine. And in Ukraine, we're approaching 1%. But it's 1% of sold-out, zealous Christians, and they're changing the country. So much so that a few years ago, the Ministry of Education came to one of our seminaries there and asked us to provide teachers for their public schools. Think about that. Can you imagine government leaders coming to a seminary in America and saying, we need your teachers in our public schools? And what did they want them to teach? They wanted to implement in all their schools a course called Christian Ethics. Christian Ethics. And so we had a rather large Christian education program in this particular seminary. It was very easy for them to just change it from Christian education to public school ministry. And the Lord opened such an incredible door. There are, in Russia, where your pastor has been 10 times and had a huge impact, there are only 72,000 people out of 140 million who believe like you do. The goal of the church in Russia is to reach 1%. To get to 1%, they have to grow from 72,000 to 1,400,000. That's how reached Russia is. Most American Christians think that Russia has been reached. One of the biggest problems we've had in reaching Russia is that our government still acknowledges that the evangelical Christians are being persecuted. And so our embassy in Moscow makes it very, very easy for Russian evangelical Christians to come to America. And so there are probably 3 times as many Russian evangelical Christians in America as there are in Russia, because our government lets them out, lets them over here very easily. So it's actually working to the disadvantage. The last part here is great. And Jesus says, after giving this impossible, imagine, it's a handful of disciples. He's given this to a handful of guys and saying, I want you to go all over the world and disciple all the nations. It's like, how are we going to do that? But then he tells them how they're going to do it. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It means every moment. Every moment of every day that you are living in obedience to this command, Christ is helping you. When you pray for opportunities, God opens hearts. You can't open a heart. No human can open a heart. Only God can open a heart. Not only that, you pray about the words to say, he gives you the right words to say. It's incredible. Now, just quickly about some things we do. Or let me say one more thing. I'm kind of running out of time. So, in Acts chapter 17, in Paul's famous sermon on Mars Hill to the intellectuals of Athens, He says that it's God who determines the times and the boundaries of the nations. Okay? Think of Soviet Union. It was 15 republics controlled from Moscow for 72 years. And in December 1991, God said to the leaders of the Soviet Union, your time is over. And what had been one big country became 15 little countries. And that the verse in Acts 17 goes on to say the reason that God determines the times and the boundaries. Because when God interrupts a country, as he did in the Soviet Union, their security blanket was ripped out from under them. Actually, that began to develop in the late 1980s. What they had been taught all their lives suddenly was declared null and void. And people were searching for God. In Acts 17, it says they will grope for him, grope for God. We had people groping for God. We had 500 million people from Eastern European countries to the Pacific. There were 500 million people in the communist empire. God said, your empire is over. And the people were, it was unbelievable. Everywhere we went, you had people on the street. I mean, you passed out tracts, everybody took one. On the airplane, everybody on the airplane took a tract. The whole airplane is reading. On the subway, everybody on the subway took a tract. They're all reading from God's word. We were having a pastor's conference in Kiev. We were taking a break about 10 o'clock in the morning. We had 700 pastors there. A young man came in the front door of the church, walked right up to where a couple of us were standing. He was probably 20 years old. Came in the church, came up, said, looked at me and said, do you know how I can find God? I'm looking for God. Before the break was over, he had repented of his sin and trusted in Christ as Savior. And when the other men came back, we introduced our new brother in Christ. The Lord just sent him right into the church where the pastors were. We had those kind of things happening all the time. We did a concert in Red Square in 1991. In two hours, we had a group singing from Master's College, and we sang for 2 hours and gave away 3,500 scripture brochures. I mean, the hunger was unbelievable because God shakes up nations, and his plan, he'll shake up a nation. And then there's a great harvest. Today, our priorities as a mission are training, church planting, and everything else that it takes to get the training and the church planting done. We've trained more than 5,000 in the former Soviet Union and helped them plant more than 2,000 churches. Could even be 4,000, I'm not sure. That sounds great. But if still you're a long way from reaching 1% of the population, you know, that all sounds great, but we have a long way to go because the populations are so huge. We break the countries into two categories, Orthodox countries. That's the ones where the Russian Orthodox Church dominates and where they're the opposition. In those countries, we've trained 4,000. We have 800 students right now, plus 200 in our seminaries and Bible institutes and 200 in the Antioch program that you're a part of. We have 300 church planters in those countries and 200 orphan workers. In the secular Muslim countries, by the way, the reason we're in the Muslim former countries of the Soviet Union is because in the Lord's providence, now think about God's global initiative and he's managing the nations. Okay, and during the severe persecution of the believers, the communists exiled pastors to all those Muslim countries. Exiled. I mean, they never would have gone to a Muslim country. I mean, it was so hard for them. But the government sent them. On the way there, they all figured out that what they meant for evil, God meant for good, and the Lord was sending them and their families to these Muslim countries to be his representatives, where there was no gospel presence at all. We're sponsoring 50 church planters in the Muslim countries. We have 100 students there presently. We have 20 orphan workers. We sent 4,000 Muslim kids to camp last summer. And now in Israel, so far we have 80 students plus publishing in Israel. So what are we doing in Israel? Present-day Israel was established in 1948. But beginning in 1850, Russian Jewish refugees started coming to Israel. And today, a third of the Jewish population of Israel is Russian. A third of the population. When Russians started coming, the Hebrew language was gone from Israel. And the first Russian Jews that came in said, if we're going to live in Israel, we need to bring back the Hebrew language. And so they did. And Russian immigrants to Israel developed the great education systems in Israel, and they developed the great agricultural systems. And since 1948, Israel has had eight presidents. Five of them have been Russians. Israel has had 19 prime ministers, and 18 of 19 have Russian background. Benjamin Netanyahu has four Russian grandparents. I'm telling you things here today about Israel that nobody in America knows. I think our government doesn't even know it. Because when they come to Israel, they take on a Hebrew name. And their Russian name is forgotten. So what does it mean for the gospel? It means that Russian people are so respected because of the great contribution they've made to modern Israel, that when a Russian Jew is saved, becomes a believer, he has a great platform. People listen to him. And the Lord brought us in the last 2 years into contact with three publishing companies and an indigenous company, publishing, believing, Christian publishing companies in Israel, and a Bible college, Israel College of the Bible. And the three publishing companies and the Bible college, when we encountered their leaders in every case, they all said the same thing. We wanted to minister to the Russians, but we don't have the language, we couldn't do it. And so they call our partnerships a marriage made in heaven. And we have we've trained 82 converted Russian Jews in Israel. 42 of them have completed a 2-year certificate, and now we're in a full partnership with Israel College of the Bible with a full Russian curriculum that we're developing. Would you turn with me, please, to John 15? I'm going to close with this. John chapter 15. So, what is your part in God's global initiative? John 15 and verse 16, Jesus says, and this is very personal, this is to you, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Before the beginning of time, you were chosen and you were appointed. Chosen, appointed. Appointed means you got a job to do. Every Christian has a job to do in God's global initiative. And all of our jobs in God's global initiative are about bearing spiritual fruit. Fruit that remains means that it's eternal. And I forgot to mention that God's global initiative is the only global initiative that is eternal. It's forever. Every other one is only on this planet. When I was, I'm going to wrap up in 1 minute. When my wife and I were young believers, we were sitting in like the second row, and our pastor came up sort of concluding a missions conference, and he said, I want to ask you a very serious question. Are you at the point in your life where you are willing, starting right this moment, should God want you to do it, to go anywhere in the world, anywhere, no restrictions, and do anything that God might want you to do, no restrictions? He said, if you're ready to do that, would you please stand? And I start standing, my wife starts standing. And so we're standing, symbolizing making that commitment. I was still in the business world. I was a driven young corporate executive. And at that point, when we gave our hearts 100% to the Lord without any limitation, God began to move in our lives and has been moving in exciting ways ever since. And I've had numbers of opportunities, and it's been like, you know, okay, Bob and Loretta, I want you over here now for a while, and then it was time for something else. You know, it was like, okay, now you're done there, I want you over here for a while. And our life has just been an incredible adventure. And I think God wants every Christian to have such an incredible adventure. But it requires being sold out, absolutely sold out. Trust Him. Trust Him, and He will guide you, and He will open and close doors. And it's been my experience, you don't need a resume. God knows all about you. When it's time to move, He just moves you, you know, to where He wants. So who might the Lord want to go to some of these Muslim countries as a professional, you know, as a tent maker, as a real tent maker? Because when that's our calling as an occupation. I believe that every Christian needs, if every Christian is in the role God had for him, he will excel at what he's doing. If he or she is not excelling at what they're doing, then they're in the wrong job, because God has created us all to excel at something. And when we're in the job where we're excelling, everybody around us pays attention. Not only we get their attention by excelling at what we do, and then they watch our character. And when they watch our character, they see how different we are. And then in due time, they're starting to ask questions. They're starting to ask, you know, what makes you so different? And the gospel just rolls out in such a natural way. Well, God bless you all. I look forward to seeing you again. I look forward to seeing some of you all over the world. And may the Lord help you continue turning Houston upside down for Christ, and then from you the ripple to the ends of the earth. God bless you.